trying to find some sort of objective truth or fact of the world and putting all of my weight on that and trying to build on it. And that's bitten me time and time again, because I'll find something that I think is concrete, whether that's in a relationship or a set of principles, and I'll say, okay, this is how it is. And then you put all of your weight on it. You put all of your picture of someone that's, you know, rock climbing. And you grab a bit of rock and you grab it onto your hand and you test it a bit and you're like, all right, this feels pretty sturdy. And then, you know, there's a certain point where you have to put all of your weight on that hand to grab the next bit. So you're kind of putting all of your faith in this hand on this rock and hoping that it won't break away from the cliff. Because if it does, then you fall down. And my biggest mistake, time and time again, is grabbing a piece and being like, okay, this is not even really testing it that much, but just because it feels good and it fits into my narrative, you know, it's in my way. So I'll say, like, you know, of course this is something that's how life is meant to be. This is how a relationship should be. This is how my attitude towards, you know, should be. And then I put all my weight on it with full certainty that it'll support me, and then it crumbles. And I fall a bit and I quickly grab onto something else, and it's always just been me like climbing up the cliff a bit, falling down the cliff, trying to climb up, falling back down, like with these false assumptions of how things are and buying into these narratives that perhaps, you know, satisfy my need to control and feel secure in the world, but aren't necessarily legitimate truths that are applicable to me or other people.
Welcome back to the Prometheus podcast. Luke here, and I'm joined with Ali. So today's episode is going to be a little different than normal, but we're coming close to the end of the year. So I thought, you know, for the audience, for all of us, we'll just go over a bit of a recap of how our 2019 went. So maybe some wins or losses that we had and some lessons we've learned, because we've all of us have had wins and losses throughout this year. And I think as we talk about it, yeah, the audience, you guys, you'll be able to pick out some nuggets of the lessons of, I guess, that we've had through our triumphs, but more importantly as well, our losses that we've had. So, being a crazy year for everyone, I'm sure. Ali, how's your recap of 2019? Where, I guess, were you at the start? How are you now? And yeah, what's it look like going forward?
Yeah, so 2019 for me was a pretty eventful year. And to be completely honest, probably a pretty negative year. I think my kind of glow up, my like prime, I kind of hit that around, you know, 2018, 2017, even 2016. All three of those years were like really, really strong years. And I'm at a place now, after going through a bad year, to acknowledge that that was a lucky kind of abnormal thing to have three whole years back to back to back that was just straight positive growth. Wasn't anything really negative about it. It was just, you know, growing in one capacity and building on top of that, and it's like keeping on that kind of sort of just like that just straight curve going up. And a lot of, honestly, those 3 years are the best 3 years of my life. I learned so many different things. I came into contact with so many new people who really impacted me in a profound and really significant way. But I guess, you know, all roller coasters, after you've been
going up,
then you got to come down at some point. And I think I definitely was perhaps a bit naive after going through such a blissful period in my life where nothing was really problematic and everything. I was still kind of at university, going through the motions. Every day had a structure to it. Every week had a theme, and it was all very much moving towards a singular goal, which was graduating from university. So there wasn't really much to think about. It was just live your life. You have your responsibilities, you have your commitments, and you have the people that, you know, you're bound to, because they're your family, they're your friends, they're your, you know, significant others, whatever it might be. But all that kind of unraveled a bit in 2019. And, you know, no, not really any fault of my own. Not really anybody's fault. It's just, you know, life kind of has these ebbs and flows, just like the tide, you know, the water comes in and out. But it's just like the fact that it came at the end of such a long period of growth and of, I guess, positivity for me, it definitely kind of hit harder than I think it normally would have. So yeah, I mean, we can unpack it a bit later on, but how's your 29, or at least the last couple of years, in contrast to 2019,
yeah.
How's it all, what's like the big picture for you before we get into it?
Yeah, well, similar story really. Like for me, I had a lot of success where I was working, and ever since high school, however many years that's been, who knows, yeah. Feels like forever, but it's kind of always been going up, and I've always just been that single focus on that one goal, so to speak, like you were saying, or very, not even one goal, but had, I guess, tunnel vision to what I was doing. So I didn't deviate. I was like, look, this is the path I want to go on, and all my energy was focused on that. So I was always working. I was, you know, always like doing my own thing, and just, you know, kept working, kept going up, kept being successful at work where I was, kept kind of moving up the, I guess, corporate ladder, so to speak. And, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, yeah, it was, I guess, quote unquote, successful. A lot of people saw it like that. So I was just focused on building and doing that. So this last part of 2019 has been real interesting though, because I left that job that I'd been with for three, four, however many years it's been. And for me, I was going, I kind of peaked where I was. I just decided that I needed to, yeah, shake things up a bit. I was just really bored where I was. I wasn't happy. It wasn't giving me what I wanted. And I realized, well, I've probably hit the ceiling of where I was. And for me, and I've probably done this a few times, so it wasn't too difficult, but I straight away thought I probably need to take, you know, a step back to take two steps forward.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, where I am, yes, it could be seen as successful for my age. It could be seen as, you know, success in a few other areas, what people might deem it. But I was like, well, I'd probably rather go backwards a bit if I know that in the future I could go a lot further. Because like I said, I kind of hit that ceiling, and I was like, well, even if I'm not doing much, or I'm doing a few things, or I get to travel and go interstate and do these, you know, nice things and stay in these fancy hotels, and might not necessarily be working so hard, but still, you know, get paid a nice amount, see some cool things, see Australia, do whatever. I'm just like, oh, it's still not like that. Ceiling part is like what's really choking me up, and I don't have time to necessarily do what I want to do, because although I might not be, you know, killing myself trying to work so hard at this job, it's still taking up my time. And I was just thinking I'd rather be taking a step back to go two step forward. So towards, I'd say, kind of like March, early 2019, I started making that transition and doing a few things a bit differently. And halfway in the year is probably when I like cut it off and just decided to, you know, work for the family business and try to do my own thing. And yeah, for me, the real crazy part to all of that, there was, like I said, I knew I had to take a step back, and there was plenty of losses that came with it, because I was very fortunate to be in a field that I worked in when I was very young. So I managed to land a pretty good gig. So finances out of high school wasn't really an issue for me. I honestly never did check my bank account, and I don't care too much about money, so it's not like I ever would, but I could always, I guess, tap and go and never care about what money I had.
Yeah.
But making that transition, I knew stuff was gonna get really tight, because I did the maths to it, and I was like, well, hang on, I'll play this real close to the chest, and it's gonna be stressful, and I'm gonna have to kind of dig deep and, you know, do these other jobs for extra cash to like pay the mortgage, to do all this other stuff, and it's very risky. But for me, I felt like that was the right move. So I took some, I guess, losses there and some hits to the chin, but like I said, I think I knew that I had to do that. So I decided to take those losses, because I'm trying to, I guess, grasp more wins down the track. So it's been a pretty crazy year, because from not, you know, caring about too many things to really every single day stretching it, looking at the time, looking at the money, trying to make it work, trying to pay bills, trying to do all of that. And then I was, yeah, that's how the 2019 has come for me. And it's been a lot more work and a lot more grind, a lot more hassle. And it's been a lot more harder ever than it was earlier in the year.
Yeah.
But I think I still wouldn't take it back. I think I'd prefer to take those losses than, I guess, the other losses if I was a bit more comfortable in my own space at the start of the year. So that's, yeah, 2019 has gone similar to you. It's just been up for a few years now. But just, yeah, life and just my own decision going down a bit, just, yeah, for the next year coming up, 2020. So, yeah, been a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's about where, yeah, that is for me. But, yeah, in terms of unpacking and all of that, what, yeah, I'll just handball it back to you.
Yeah.
What's going on in that head of yours?
Yeah. So, yeah, so in terms of, I guess, unpacking 2019 a bit more.
Yeah.
The reason why I left it a bit vague at the start was because quite a bit has happened. So
it's hard, you can't cover all of
it. Yeah. I mean, there was an end of a relationship that was quite significant to me.
Yep.
That came, you know, quite unexpectedly. It wasn't really something I foresaw coming. It's not really a reality that I could have even imagined. So the fact that did transpire was something that kind of shook me to my core a bit, because it's kind of, you know, one day, you know, the birds are digging holes into the ground and I know the rats are flying. It's like, that was a really weird metaphor, but like, it's like everything was just like flipped, you know. It's like you have one understanding of what the world is and what the people are in your world, but then when someone acts completely different to what you know, it's like you just don't know what to do in that situation. It's like if someone just suddenly stopped obeying the laws of the road and someone just like swerved at you, you'd be like, well, hold on a minute, there's these invisible lines and rules that we all follow and you're not following it, so hold on a minute. Like, and then that like honestly is enough to disturb you, because there's these things that you agree upon, and when someone doesn't hold up their end of the bargain, then it suddenly, you know, you kind of lose trust in the world, in other people. You think, well, I assumed that things would just continue to be the way they were, but suddenly things took a left turn, and you say, well, where did that come from? And then what is there, like any larger, broader picture to that? Or was this like an isolated incident? Like, where does this fit in my narrative? And it's hard to really place that when you're right in the middle of it. So that was something that took quite a bit of time to process. And then of course there was end of university. So graduating, of course, was a good thing overall. Of course, that's why you're at uni, to finally not be at uni. But, you know, it's like what I mentioned before. It provided that sort of safety net where it's your day is kind of structured out, your week structured out, your month, your year. You kind of know what to expect. And now that that's finished, it's kind of the safety net's been taken away and you're kind of up on this tightrope and you're kind of fully in control of what you're doing now. Like there's no more, it's not like you're in a, you know, one of those learner's cars where the person in the passenger also has like an accelerator and a brake. You're the only one with the accelerator and the brake. You're the only one with control over the vehicle. So if you crash, or if you, you know, get to where you want to go, if you take a wrong turn, that's all like kind of on you at this point. So that's, having that responsibility for the first time in your life, I think is, over yourself, is something that's quite heavy, and it's quite a burden to bear, because it's, you know, the moves you make now will be what your life becomes. So knowing what seeds you want to plant and what fruit you want to harvest 10 years from now, it's hard to know right now what you'll want in 10 years, but you kind of have to toe the line there and try your best to know what that'll be. And that's, I think, quite a difficult thing to do, to do well, at least. And then, of course, I started full-time work, which I'm super grateful for. Obviously, it's allowed, for the first time in my life, a bit of income to come in. Usually, it was always just part-time, casual jobs, but now this is my first full-time, proper, salaried position. So I'm grateful, but it's also kind of another initiation into the world of people. Whereas, again, I spoke about that naivety before heartbreak, before graduation, before full-time work. I kind of think I was a bit detached from what it meant to be, you know, just a human in the world and an adult in the world. And I think, we were still doing Step Potential at that time. So I was still saying things and putting out content with you. And I think whilst a lot of it is still genuine and still applicable, I think, you know, some of it at least, or maybe some of the attitude I had back then was coming from a place of, you know, of naivety, perhaps someone who didn't fully understand how the world operated.
Yeah.
which, you know, it's not something that most people in our position would admit. They'd say, oh, you know, every word I've ever said is golden, but yeah. I'm willing to put it on the record that, you know, maybe I said some things that were a bit too harsh.
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately what's changed is I've become a softer person, a lot more empathetic.
Yeah.
Because after you've understand, well, oh, this is a 9 to 5. This is your commute. This is the grind. This is the day in, the day out. You don't know until you know. But once you're there, once you're doing it, that's when you're kind of, you have this kind of come to Jesus moment where you're like, oh, okay, like, I am a part of the human race now. I've been initiated. This is what it's all about. This is a capitalist society. Like, this is what we're all out here doing. And that's also just been, I think, just a bit of a, I wouldn't say difficult, but just there's been a bit of growing pains with that, just adjusting to what it even means to, you know, no longer have as much free time up your sleeve, to not really, you know, to be in a to be a professional.
Yeah.
Before, if you're part-time casual, you're kind of not really accountable. You can just, you know, mess up a bit or not really need to put that much pressure on yourself because whatever, like, you're kind of there to do the bare minimum. But when you're a full-time salaried worker and you know, you have responsibilities, it's not really enough to just do the bare minimum anymore, because if at this point, if I'm not, you know, trying my best, then it reflects on you. Yeah. Whereas back then it didn't reflect on you because you were just a kid, like whatever, like casual, people didn't expect much of you anyway. But, you know, when someone goes out on a limb and hires you and says, all right, I'm going to give you a chance. You're 22, you're straight out of uni, but I'm going to give you a proper job with, you know, a proper salary and proper responsibilities. It becomes complicated because it's not just about what you're doing at work, it's, well, what do these people think of you, and what does my work say about me?
Yeah.
And that, you know, navigating that, you know, only like 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the job is also another element. And also moving out now, like, it's just, I've been speaking for a minute and I apologize, but again, that's why I said, you know, I'll unpack it, because there's just been so much change happening.
Oh. Yeah, it's like 2 months even.
For yeah, you. Yeah, a lot of just movement. And as someone who traditionally is quite averse to movement, someone who needs stability and who needs routine, kind of throwing a wrench into all of that has been taxing, to say the least. And I think ultimately worth it, because again, it's only until you break free from the narrative that you're used to that you can understand what's possible for you. And I also wouldn't have become or reached this state of empathy or understanding had I not kind of broken through some of my own weaknesses. Because of course, if you're strong on the sidelines, whatever, like you're strong on the sidelines, but you're not playing the game. So that's kind of where I was at. I was strong on the sidelines. I was like the coach yelling at the players, being like, you know, this is how you should be playing. But the coach isn't playing the game. The coach is just giving the orders.
Yeah.
And a lot of motivational speakers are like that. They're coaches on the sidelines ordering the players. But, you know, the coach isn't the one that, you know, has to take that hit. The coach isn't the one that has to dig deep and, you know, run that extra, you know, few meters to get to the ball. The coach isn't the one that has to, you know, wash the blood off or, you know, the sweat off at the end of the game. The coach is just there giving the orders. But when you're a player in the game, when you're the one that's getting hit, when you're the one who's out there hitting, when you have to, like, dig deep, be aggressive, play defensively, play offensively, that's an entirely different thing. And I think that's the process that I'm coming into now, is, you know, stepping back from that naive position of being the coach on the sidelines to being the one in the trenches doing the living.
Yeah.
And that, I think, has always been something I've never wanted to do. I think I'd always prefer to just be the coach watching the game and, like, you know, just giving some suggestions, but not really participating, to now participating and losing some of that control that the coach has. The coach can see the big picture, and that's what the coach is for. When you're a player, you're in it, and there's too much moving parts. You can't really see, and it's confusing. And you're probably someone who's, like, really good in the field, just knowing you personally. Like, you're the, you know, the linebacker. The ball goes out. You're, like, running. You're, like, grab it. I know what a linebacker does. Yeah. We don't play.
That's funny. But
yeah. For the American audience, yeah. I know what I'm saying. When the linebacker dunks the ball, like...
when he gets it off the tee.
Yeah, yeah, like, he's in there, and I think that's what you do best. You're in the trenches, you see it happening, and you're responding, you're reacting to what's happening around you. I've always been that big picture guy. I've always been like, okay, I don't really want to get my fingers dirty, but I still want to like see the game unfolding. But you need a bit of both. You can't always just be a coach on the sidelines. You can't always be a player in the field. You need to be able to like switch between the two. You need to be able to go big picture and plan things out. But on your day-to-day life, if you're just watching it, then you're not living your life, you know? And I think I almost am scared to live my life.
Yeah.
Because then, at least as a coach, as someone who's not doing it themselves, you don't have to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to get trampled. You don't have to risk injury. But, you know, the players are stronger than the coach, at least at the game. Like, that's why a lot of coaches are just like old blokes just like on the corner with like a beer gut, because like they don't have to go to training and do all that, but the player does. So knowing, you know, the nuances between those two roles and getting it right and, you know, embracing a role that doesn't come naturally to me, I think that's kind of what 2019 has taught me. And it's also going to be, I think, the big challenge of 2020 for me. But, you know, I'm not one to shy away from a challenge, so the best is all I can do.
Yeah, well, right. That's two topics and a half right there. That analogy is so good, but I'll just quickly move away to it, and I'm sure we'll go back to it. But for one, with your position, right, especially just graduating university, and it's why it's so good that you like took that leap, because you have been in the factory of doing the maths of like, this is how you live, this is how you do it, you tick these boxes, but and then like you just dumped and it's, all right, do it, execute what you have just learned the last however many years. You're then expected to go out and, like you're saying, like be the player. Like, you've spent all this time being the coach, and then all of a sudden it's go time. And that's where obviously a lot of people can shy away, because it's terrifying. It's not, if you're a player and you've been a player your entire life, like that is easy, it comes natural too. If you've always kind of made decisions in the heat of the moment, then you're fine. You can land more on your instincts than their, I guess, intellectual understanding. And that's the interesting transition that you're in now. And I think just listening to you and thinking about me as well, it's crazy because we're both in that similar position. And I think in some instances for you, and of course it changes between both of us, but some instances to you, it kind of, stuff happened to you and it caused you to go like that. And then I kind of pushed myself into some positions that caused me to dramatically go like that as well. But I guess we're both in here and we're both in the trenches now. Like, well, here it goes. I think that's the beauty of it though, because that's why I love this conversation, because this is where a lot of people just don't even get started right. No one's reflecting on that past year. No one's reflecting on the mistakes that it made. No one has enough guts to put up their hand and say, look, I was naive this year, I won't be next year, or I'll try better next year. And so many people just get stuck in that cycle of new year, new me, but they haven't done any of that grunt work. And I think that's why this conversation is so important, because you really have to reflect and go, okay, well, where did I win and where did I lose? And what will I do going forward? Because for one, we've talked about, I guess, losing a lot in this quick conversation, but you got to look at the wins as well. How far, you know, step potential has come, even how far you've come. Like, yes, the loss is you taking back a bit and go, wow, maybe I was naive, but the gain from that is now, like you're saying, you scored that empathy. And I think a lot of people, they just, if we're talking about 2019 recapping, that they haven't even done that. They're just not focusing on recapping. And it's painful to admit that, yeah, crap, maybe I am just a coach. Maybe I like to give great advice to people because I have my whiteboard and I have the, you know, schematics of the game. I've done the ones and zeros, the X's and O's. I've done the play, and I can tell people how to live their life, or how to, you know, treat their partner, or how to do this and do that and do that. But it's a fine difference between actually, getting your hands dirty and doing, I guess, the maths in the background. And yes, you do need that balance of both. But I guess for people listening, it's, well, yeah, go back to that drawing board. What are your wins and your losses? And then, what are those core lessons? Because there's lessons in both. And I think that's why I'm really loving this conversation, because I can easily, with what you're talking about, I can relate straight away. And you always use those crazy, you know, analogies and all that. And I'm just like, I can see that in my life. So, I think that's a real core for a lot of people. Yeah, so how about then, you got, you know, your lessons, your all of that. What's, with what I was saying, what do you think is cool for people to, yeah, I guess reflect, and then after reflecting, what's really, I guess, that next step? Because, yeah, people, it's that core step, and we might be covering another podcast, say our next one, but people aren't doing this reflecting process, and you are naturally, you've just like said it, you've told everyone, naturally you like to reflect, you like to kind of go in a bit, get back into the mind, do the maths, you know, make the systems, be, you know, a bit more reserved in that nature. So that's more of like your expert field, like you're saying, instead of going out there and maybe, I guess, being the player. So what's, how do you do it, or where do you kind of take that energy from, and I guess where do you see everyone else falling in that? Because I mean, we talk about it all the time, a lot of people are just, it's a lot of outward stuff, not a lot of stuff inward. So I guess for those people listening who don't necessarily take time to reflect, any words of wisdom there?
And again, I'll probably reach out to another weird little analogy metaphor, but I think the biggest mistakes that I've been making so far have been trying to find some sort of objective truth or fact of the world and putting all of my weight on that and trying to build on it. And that's bitten me time and time again, because I'll find something that I think is concrete, whether that's in a relationship or a set of principles, and I'll say, okay, this is how it is. And then you put all of your weight on it. You put all of your, picture of someone that's, you know, rock climbing. And you grab a bit of rock, and you grab it onto your hand, and you test it a bit, and you're like, all right, this feels pretty sturdy. And then, you know, there's a certain point where you have to put all of your weight on that hand to grab the next bit. So you're kind of putting all of your faith in this hand, on this rock, and hoping that it won't break away from the cliff. Because if it does, then you fall down. And my biggest mistake, time and time again, is grabbing a piece and being like, okay, this is... not even really testing it that much, but just because it feels good and it fits into my narrative, you know, it's in my way. So I'll say, like, you know, of course this is something that's how life is meant to be. This is how a relationship should be. This is how my attitude towards, you know, should be. And then I put all my weight on it with full certainty that it'll support me, and then it crumbles. And I fall a bit, and I quickly grab onto something else. And it's always just been me, like, climbing up the cliff a bit, falling down the cliff, trying to climb up, falling back down, like with these false assumptions of how things are, and buying into these narratives that perhaps, you know, satisfy my need to control and feel secure in the world, but aren't necessarily legitimate truths that are applicable to me or other people outside of, you know, a few specific scenarios where it has worked out, you know? And I think that's the thing I want to try moving away from, is stop trying to look for these things. Accept the fluidity of the world. Know that your identity in one moment doesn't have to be your identity in the next, and stop trying to put all of your weight on one thing, because again, so much, the world can change, you know, on a dime. Things can take a left turn, and if you're putting your weight on one thing and that thing crumbles, then you kind of in free fall for a moment. And when you're in that free fall, that's the worst feeling, because human beings need some form of stability. They need something to put their feet on, some solid ground to actually build lives upon. But if you're forever searching for something inscrutable, something that can't be, you know, rebutted against or debated against, if you're always looking for some concrete fact, you'll spend your life searching for it. But you know, and of course there's some few things. It's like, you know, don't kill people, like be nice, like respect others, like do unto others as you would unto yourselves. There's some like certain timeless truths that apply to everyone. I'm talking about more just nuanced, you know, individualistic things. Stop trying to find some individual truth that'll make your life suddenly make sense, because life doesn't really make sense. You have to kind of work in the macro of it. You have to kind of like work in the trenches and stop trying to like figure out a game plan. Because again, that coach and player metaphor, if the coach says, all right, the opposition's going to run this defense and you're going to pass the ball like this and go like that, and if that coach puts all of his weight on it or all of her weight on it, and they say, this is what's going to happen, and the players go out there, they start setting up the play, and then the offense does something completely different. I mean, the defense, whatever, like the opponent does something completely different. So what do? You hold on to that and do the play anyway when it's clearly not the right situation for that play and just completely, you know, mess it up and lose the game? Or do you, as a player, embrace your intuition and read the situation as it's happening? And yes, you might have had this one belief on how it's going to play out, but in fact, that's not how it's going to play out. So now you have to pivot and respond. I think being someone who's not a good player, someone who's a good, great coach, but not necessarily a good player, my downfall has always been not reading what's happening, not listening to my own intuition and trusting myself, and living a life as a coach. The consequence of it is I have very little faith in myself, actually. I have very little confidence in my ability to make decisions, and I'm a terrible decision maker. Like when given two options, I'll like sit on it for so long and not actually commit, and it wastes so much time and so much energy and so much resources, when if I just had faith in what I'm doing, I can probably figure it out. But I don't, and that's why I have to, like, you know, I call up my sister. I'm like, hey, like my sister's a great player. Like, she's someone that's just great in the field, and she's a great coach. She's like the perfect example of someone who's like, you know, excels in both, and that's why she's had this success in her life that she has. But me lacking, I always have to, you know, call her for security and comfort, because I can't even feel confident in my decision. So I call her up. I'm like, hey, like, this is my situation. What should I do? And she says, oh, just do that. Like, that's clearly the right answer. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Why couldn't I figure that out? Why couldn't I respond to that when she's half a world away, not even in the same, like, doesn't even know all the information, but she could just see it clearly. And that's what, you know, a good player can do. They don't have to even be playing their own game. They can see someone else's game and say, well, this is the move you play. And in some ways, that becomes more valuable than just being a coach. So to me, I think to anyone listening right now, if you're someone who does that, whether you're over-leveraged on being a player or over-leveraged on being a coach, try to develop the opposite skill set. If you're all thought, develop intuition. And if you're all intuition, step back and try to cultivate some thought. Because when those two things harmonize, that's when you just become, you know, a weapon in the world, because you're just a will, there's a way, and you just get it done.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prometheus podcast, where we aim to bring the fire back to the people.